Next case on the calendar is United States v. Aguilar Escobedo.
Audience. I represent Roberto Aguilar Escobedo, and there are a number of issues in this case that I'd like to start at the end and move forward. There is now a circular of sorts from the Ninth Circuit requesting sort of opinions on post-Zavala and McCarty as to whether or not express consideration of factors of 18 U.S.C. 3553A are required. In this particular case, the judge below did not give a particularized 3553A opinion. He just kind of said...
Wasn't there a 10-month minimum here?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Wasn't there a 10-year mandatory minimum here?
You know, I have a cold, Judge.
Wasn't there a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence here?
Why is there a
10? Wasn't there one?
Why isn't there one?
Wasn't there one, yes. Isn't there one?
Well, Judge, that's going back to the going forward.
I'm sorry, what?
Let's talk about that. That has something to do with sentencing entrapment.
And all right, but you wanted to start at the end, so I'm starting at the end. Assuming everything else is correct, isn't there a 10-year mandatory minimum?
With the amount of heroin that was, or the amount of cocaine that was found?
5 kilograms.
5 kilograms.
As opposed to 4.
Right. 5 kilograms was found. This defendant had done business with the informant on prior occasions in 1 kilogram.
I understand that. I'm asking, just answer my question. Given what was actually found, let's leave out the sentencing entrapment for the moment. Wasn't there a 10-year mandatory minimum?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what did he explain? He didn't explain 1 month? What did he not explain?
Well, it's a matter of what the law is or what the Ninth Circuit is asking what the law should be. And
he gave a 120-month sentence when 120 months was mandatory.
Your Honor, I'm required to raise issues, and this is one of the issues that came to my attention is the McCarty issue. And McCarty was law for a certain period of time and then went off the board. However, shortly after McCarty went off the board...
It's not McCarty, it's Carty, by the way, but go ahead.
McCarty, yeah. And that's why that issue was raised, Judge.
Yeah, well, let's talk about another issue. The best you could get out of that issue is 1 month if everything else is against you. And you mentioned sentence entrapment. And I know the basic facts here that the record shows that he never sold more than 1 kilo of cocaine at any one time, but the government informant or whatever you want to call him got him up to 5 kilo, and that's a 10-year minimum mandatory. And so when I and the district judge reviewed it and said, well, he's sold cocaine for a lot of times, so he had the predisposition to sell any amount. So now address to me and tell me why there was sentence entrapment under the case law, because I'm sympathetic with you, but I got want to know the case law on it that would enable me to say there was sentencing entrapment.
Actually, Your Honor, Judge White sat on a panel up here at the time when a series of sentencing entrapment cases were being heard back in about 1995 or 96, and that was at that time, that was sort of a stopgap measure to the sentencing guidelines because it was the sentencing guidelines were seen, the mandatory minimum was seen as being a little too harsh. So there were two or three cases where the mandatory minimum law was applied to go off of the mandatory minimum. The issue here was the judge himself actually raised the issue for briefing at the time of sentencing. We put off sentencing and we briefed. The judge didn't think that sufficient argument had been made for the mandatory or for the sentencing entrapment. And one of the other issues is that since Booker, Your Honor, there's been no, to my knowledge, there's been no sentencing entrapment case. And the problem is not only, you know, you have basically a 1 kilogram seller who's set up by somebody with 5 kilograms.
Let me ask you something. This 5 kilograms went to the jury, did it not?
No, I don't think
so. No?
I'm sorry, Judge.
At the 5 kilogram issue, the amount go to the jury in this case? I feel like I'm speaking Greek most of the time here. Did the amount of cocaine, the 5 kilograms, was that only before the judge or did it go to the jury? Did the jury find the 5 kilograms?
Before the jury, Judge.
It was before the jury.
Yes, ma'am. Sure, it certainly was.
And the jury made a finding. Did the jury make a finding?
Yes, they did.
All right. So this is a different variety of sentencing entrapment. It's really just entrapment. It's basically, was he entrapped into an element of the crime, i.e., the 5 kilograms? Did you get instruction on sentencing entrapment? Or on entrapment in general? Was there entrapment instruction?
No, Judge. You know, what happened is actually the judge raised the issue on sentencing entrapment. What I had done is that before
But you would have had to actually overturn, it essentially would have had to be a motion for a new trial or something, because you would have had to overturn a jury finding, right?
Well, the judge invited that briefing to basically overturn the jury's finding.
See, you're right that there's no post-Booker law on this, but this isn't really a post-Booker problem because this is not a guidelines problem. Am I right about that?
Well, you know, it's kind of curious, the tie-up between sentencing entrapment and entrapment itself, Judge. And
well, the typical sentencing entrapment is where the amount of the sentence makes a guidelines difference, right? And it goes to the, but that's not what's going on here. Here, the amount of the drugs went to the jury as part of the offense, did it not? Because it's a mandatory minimum.
Well, I don't know whether that's necessary. That's a kind of a gray area there, Judge, as to whether or not sentencing entrapment is a sentencing issue. Sentencing entrapment has been a judge issue.
I understand, and I don't see why it's not an issue, i.e., it seems to me that you can raise, as you can raise any other entrapment issue, you can say, well, they entrapped me with regard to the amount that went to the jury, but it's still a somewhat different problem. It should be encompassed in the jury instructions, in other words.
Well, that's an interesting issue there as to the instructions. We initially got an instruction pre-trial as to entrapment. And the government failed to disclose with regard to its informant that it intended to have the informant testify as to any prior activity with the between the informant and my client. The conspiracy period was a very short period of time, May 22 to June 3. What the informant was testifying to were alleged prior acts there, too. They weren't disclosed as 404B type information. They weren't disclosed in the pretrial statements. They weren't even disclosed in a motion for
But they were essential to an entrapment issue, right?
Yes, they are, Judge. And, of course, after that came in, after the informant testified as to these charged incidents, which were very vague, then the judge couldn't really give an entrapment instruction. He
thought, could have given an entrapment instruction with regard to the 5 kilograms. But he could have given an entrapment instruction with regard to the amount.
That wasn't done, Judge. Why
was,
it wasn't
was he asked? Was it asked? Was it requested?
I think the judge, as I remember the way it happened, Judge, is that the judge just simply felt that based on the fact that there had been prior sales, that...
In other words, I'm not understanding how you can make an entrapment, a sentencing entrapment argument here at the end of the of everything when, again, there's a mandatory minimum because of the jury verdict. Unless you could do something with the jury verdict, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, that's the curious thing about sentencing entrapment, Judge. It appears to be a sentencing-type issue that's up to the judge.
Well, it often is. It's a guidelines problem, but in this instance, it isn't a guidelines problem because you have a mandatory minimum. Am I missing something here?
I understand what Your Honor is saying. I'm not really quite sure whether you're locked in by the mandatory minimum or not, and I'm also not quite sure how, if and how and when, sentencing entrapment could possibly come into play under the new rules.
Well, let me ask another question. What evidence of outrageous government conduct did you submit to the jury? Did you present to the jury? Did you present any evidence about outrageous government conduct to the jury?
Not that I can remember, Judge. It would be in the record if I did.
Then the question is, what was the basis for the jury finding that there were 5 kilograms involved?
It was based on the fact, Your Honor, that the informant normally dealt in 1 kilogram quantities with the defendant. There was a DEA agent known as Uncle Larry.
Who suggested 5.
Who pushed 4 kilograms onto the informant with the idea of having the having that amount bought, being bought from the defendant.
And you presented that evidence to the jury?
The government presented that evidence, yes.
Uncle Larry or Harry or whoever he was.
Uncle Larry.
Uncle Larry, did you present evidence about Uncle Larry?
Oh, no, that was the government's case, Your Honor.
Oh, that he pushed 5 kilograms on your
client? Yes, ma'am, that's quite clear. Normally the...
And that evidence was before the jury?
Yes, ma'am, and that was before
the jury.
That's
all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Well... Your Honor, I think we've covered really the meat of the issues. There are various other issues that are addressed in my brief, but I think I'll pass.
Okay, thank you very much. You'll have some time in rebuttal then. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honors. Shashi Kavuramani. I'm an assistant United States attorney representing the United States in this matter. I'll try and... answer some of the court's questions regarding sentencing entrapment as that relates to this case. I'll keep my voice up. There are two types of entrapment from the case law that I've seen. There's entrapment that goes to the guilt portion, and then there's imperfect entrapment, which goes to the sentencing. In this case, there was no entrapment instruction provided during the guilt phase of the trial.
Am I correct that the 5 kilograms went to the jury as part of the guilt phase of the case?
Yes, Your Honor. It was a special.
All right. Why wouldn't it have been proper, had it been asked, which I don't know if it was, to have, and I've seen other cases in which it was, to have a sentencing entrapment instruction for the jury?
I don't know if it would have been incorrect. However, the case law, at least that I've seen, suggests there's two separate phases where...
That's because the sentencing entrapment has tended to come up as a guidelines problem, but in this case it isn't a guidelines problem. Is that right?
It is not a guidelines problem because the court found that there was no sentencing entrapment.
I know, but it's not a guidelines problem anyway because the principal problem here is a 10-year mandatory minimum that came out of the jury verdict.
Correct. So the issue as to whether the entrapment... instructions in any form went to the jury at closing? None went.
Okay.
To the jury.
That was requested.
None was requested. There was one. Well, let me. There was a pre-trial instruction given before the jury, before evidence was provided. An entrapment instruction was read to the jury because at that point it wasn't clear what type of evidence the defendant would be putting on to warrant an entrapment instruction at the end. During the, excuse me, during the discussion of the jury instructions, the court found that the defendant had not provided sufficient evidence to warrant an entrapment instruction, and the court then did not provide an entrapment instruction to the court, to the jury. So that was not presented to.
And no one is arguing here that they should have, although perhaps they should have.
That's not an issue.
Okay.
That's not an issue that's been raised.
So that being the case, then what's. And frankly, it seems to me that at least part of the sentencing entrapment standard is met here. It seems fairly obvious that the government was trying very hard to get him to sell more than 5 kilograms of cocaine, and there must have been a pretty good reason, probably because they wanted to have a mandatory minimum sentence. That's not all of the standard, however, but it's a chunk of it. And there may have been enough to get to a jury on a sentencing entrapment, but nobody asked for that.
Your Honor, I do disagree that the government was trying hard to get the defendant to provide 5 kilograms of cocaine. There was no evidence whatsoever of repeated solicitations, any reluctance on the defendant.
I understand. That's the other piece of it. But as to whether the government set out to get him to sell, it's probable they didn't pick 5 kilograms out of a hat, that they chose 5 kilograms for a reason. And that they did, and that he wasn't usually selling in those quantities to this informant.
I think that's very important, though, Your Honor. This informant, the informant had an extensive history with the defendant of buying kilogram levels of cocaine. So it could have been, just as it was argued below before the district court, it would have been just as appropriate to make multiple kilogram purchases. Because that's what this guy, that's what the defendant did with respect to the informant. Now, and I think the court hit on it, it's with respect to this informant. When the defendant was asked to provide 5 kilograms, it was on the day of the delivery. There was no, this evidence was in trial, there was no hesitation whatsoever. The 5 kilograms came, such that there was no evidence to suggest that he was not predisposed to do it, he was reluctant to do it, he was pushed into doing it, or in any other way. Other than the, and there is also in several cases cited in the brief, there's a slightly different standard for entrapment in the guilt phase versus the sentencing entrapment. One of the difference is one of the issues that you have to look at least in the case law, is the amount of inducement, level of reluctance, who acted first, repeated and persistent goading or request. There was none of that here. The other issue that the...
Well, you're arguing the merits, and I want to tell you, the merits were in front of me. I'm going to give it a hard look, but I can't. Once it went to the jury, I don't see if there's really any entrapment issue here, but go ahead.
The government doesn't believe there is any entrapment issue either.
Yeah, but there could have been, but I don't think there is. That's the problem.
Procedurally speaking, in the sense that there was because no instruction was provided, it wasn't raised in the brief as far as an error. Under the Ninth Circuit, the model jury instructions, which were relied upon when we were formulating the instructions, there is a requirement that there has to be some evidence that entrapment occurred. The defense has to come forth with some evidence to show that entrapment occurred. There was none provided here. The court found that...
Well, there is some evidence. I gave it to you with regard to the amount, but that doesn't seem to have been the focus of the conversation or of the request before the jury.
And other than that, there was no other... The other factors that are taken into consideration to show that this defendant was not predisposed to commit this crime. And the court had all that information before it when the court decided not to provide that instruction to the jury. Another... If there are no more questions, I can move on to the next point that the appellant raised, and that is the background of or the relationship between Ms. Marks, the cooperating witness, and the defendant during the trial. Defense One, the court did not commit plain error in allowing that testimony. It was of no surprise to the defendant during the trial that this witness had a relationship because it was set forth in the criminal complaint that was provided in discovery. The criminal complaint set forth that this cooperating witness, who was, when the complaint was filed, unidentified, had a 4-year relationship with the defendant and was providing and was obtaining drugs from the defendant. 2 weeks before trial, that was the name of it was disclosed. But it was in no way a surprise to the defense. The testimony, while the testimony was coming in, there was no objection raised under 404B grounds.
You're talking about the earlier sales? Is that what you're talking about?
The earlier relationship and why it was appropriate, why there was no plain error to allow the...
But isn't the entrapment really the possibility of an entrapment defense or answer to that? Because you knew there was going to, there was, at least at that point, the government had reason to believe there was going to be an entrapment defense, and demonstrating a predisposition was essential to counter it.
We did. The government did know that entrapment was going to be a possible defense. But it didn't relate, that doesn't relate into error in allowing that testimony.
It doesn't relate into error, and I don't think, therefore don't see any reason why. It just wasn't 404B evidence at that point and didn't need any notice. Why? Because it went to an issue that the defendant was directly raising.
That as well as the fact that it was necessary to present the case to the jury.
But isn't that why it was necessary to present the case, at least in large part?
In some part. The other part was to explain how the cooperating witness was even able to contact the defendant. Otherwise, it would have appeared out of the blue that this person called the defendant.
That doesn't sound very important. If there wasn't an entrapment issue, what's the difference why she was able to call him? She called him.
To explain how she was able to call him. I mean, as far as to provide a context to the case and the evidence. Those are the main two. Well, unless the court wants me to answer the sentencing issues, I have no further nothing to add. I'll submit on the briefs.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Counsel, do you have anything to add?
One of the other issues that was addressed in the briefs was the auto exception search versus a search of an auto incident to an arrest. And in this particular case, a truck was searched about an hour, more than an hour after.
Where are you getting the fact that an auto exception search has to be incident to an arrest?
I'm sorry, Judge.
From where are you getting the idea that an auto exception offense search has to be incident to an arrest if there is probable cause?
Well, I think the further issue as to that is if it is an auto exception search, Judge, I think that you're limited as to the areas that one can search in an auto exception search. Here, the areas that were searched were probably areas that were not allowed to be searched under the auto exception, but probably were allowed to be searched under the search incident to arrest.
Do you think there was probable cause for the search of the automobile?
Yes, there was probable cause.
Okay, isn't that the end of the problem?
It just has to do with the type of search it was, Judge, because that has to do with the areas which properly could be searched.
Anything else?
No, Judge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
counsel. The case of United States versus Aguilar Escobedo is submitted.